Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Up All Night, a horror anthology podcast. My name is Cortland, and with me today, it's just Brandon. Just plain Jane, boring Brandon. How you doing, Brandon?
Yep. I'm doing boring.
Just like every day. We're still boring. Brandon, we have a special guest on today for the season
we do.
Five
a
premiere.
Very special guest.
So special. It's Troy. Hi, Troy. How are you?
Oh, my God. Do I get a nickname?
No, because we're just starting the season, man. You missed it.
Oh, yeah, it's just boring old Troy.
Yawn Troy.
All right, well, bye.
Troy, when we started up Tales from the Crib, this was the episode where you're like, I want to be on for Death of Some Salesman. And I was like, all right, Troy.
Don't make me sound like an asshole.
You're not an asshole. No, I love it. I mean, granted, if anybody was like, I specifically want to be on this episode, I'd be like, who are you? But for you, Troy.
You had a small list of demands, and that's fine.
You did. It's okay. I love that. But I got to ask, Brandon, did you do anything awesome this week?
Nope.
Nah? How about you, Troy? Anything cool going on in your neck of the woods?
Do you want to know a story?
Girl, yes. Tell me everything.
All right. So this timing worked out really good, actually, because for the last, 6 weeks, I couldn't have come on here and chatted.
Why not? What had happened?
All right. So several weeks ago, my parents went on a cruise.
Yeah. I've seen this movie.
Right. And this was their first, it's just the two of us, vacation in 45 years.
Ever since that damn Troy was born.
No, my older brother. I'm not 45. Okay. God damn you. I'm still in my 30s for a few more months. So I was left alone to, house sit, cat sit and everything. And I had a whole plan of I was going to paint some doors, do everything. It was going to be amazing. Everything's going to be wonderful. Yeah. And so they left on a Saturday in January. I spent the day just drinking, actually.
I would too. Yeah.
I'm just like, this is wonderful. I'm in charge. So I went to sleep early and I woke up with a cat meowing and clawing my face and shoulder.
Oh my.
And I heard this sound. And my first instinct was, I don't care. I'm going to go back to sleep.
But my love second it. Survival instincts kicking in.
I should check out what that is. So I push the cat aside, I step out on my carpet, and my second step squishes the carpet.
No.
Yes. And then I step off the carpet on the tile, and it's just water. So I go, oh my God, did I leave the sink on when I went to bed? I brush my teeth and go to sleep. I leave the sink on? So
yeah, were you the wet bandits?
I'm the wet bandit. So I ran into my bathroom. And no, everything was fine. Everything was off, which is worse. So
yep,
I run into the living room, kitchen area, and every step, my feet's getting wetter and wetter.
Oh my God, Troy.
The pipe burst under the sink in the living room.
Is this a pipe in the ceiling burst?
No. We have an open living room kitchen.
Okay.
So, with an island, so it's the sink in the island pipe just burst. So I have to open the back room and the front room, and water is just the doors. Water is just pouring
out
of the doors. I mean, it was about 5 inches.
Jeez,
it was a couple hours of water going. So that was a nightmare.
Right. I couldn't imagine.
It was awful. So I freaked out so bad I called 911 to shut off the water. I know, it's so stupid. I was just like, I don't know what to do. So they sent a fire truck with three hot firemen. I'm like, it's kinda worth it. So and of course, the water is outside. I knew as soon as they arrived, I spent 20 minutes kicking water out of the door, just trying to get rid of water. So the fire truck shows up, and I'm like, I'm so sorry. And they're like, no, it's fine. There's usually like a valve outside your house. And I'm like, oh, yep, absolutely. I know exactly where it is. I knew exactly. It's, I needed a human to say outside. That's yeah. all. That's all it took. So, you know, we shut off the water. And I spent 4 hours kicking water out of the house. And I'm kind of thankful it happened. It happened the night they left. Literally 360 days out of the year or whatever, people would have like been in my house and heard it. But it was, I woke up early to see them off, so I went to bed early. They were gone. Like it was worst case scenario.
Yeah, that's awful, dude. Like, did you tell your parents, or was it like a movie where you tried so hard to like to clean it up before they got home?
No, I spent the week all right, picture right now your house floods. What do? You have to like move all the furniture to get like carpets outside.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was like 3 a.m. moving furniture and dragging carpets outside.
Oh, Lord.
And it was a nightmare. It was awful. And I'm then so sorry, a couple days later, I go to eat something from the freezer, and the freezer, everything's warm.
Troy, that's the worst.
Everything was awful.
I love that the universe waited until your parents were gone for everything terrible to happen to you. Like,
yeah, it's really like a sitcom.
It was. Oh yeah, then the freezer went. And I had to I flipped the fuse box. I turned that off, and that saved it. So the fridge finally did kick back on, but I was so worried that it was off. I had my uncle come over, and I threw all the meat into a bag and gave it to him.
Hey, you know what? I've had my refrigerator go off for an extended period of time too, and we had to go buy ice and put it in there and stuff, and it's the worst. Like, I wouldn't be able to survive if we didn't have electricity, guys.
So I had to buy like a new faucet on Amazon, and I replaced it. I fucking replaced it.
Damn. Okay, yeah. You go, Troy.
Yeah, I was down on my back, upside down, squirreling, you know, like twisting things into it.
My back hurts just thinking about that. I hate that stuff.
So my parents finally come back, and I said, house looks pretty good, huh? And they're like, yeah, you did a good job. And I'm like, funny story about that. It's been hell.
I'm glad that you didn't, like, you know, ruin their vacation, you know, by calling them immediately.
Oh, I wasn't going to tell them. No, absolutely not. Yeah.
Good on you, because I were in that situation, I'd be like, get the fuck off that cruise. Come home now. No vacations for you.
So, of course, they come back and they have colds.
Oh, yeah.
Which they give to me.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So after my 15 days of just dealing with the flood, they come back and I have a cold.
Well, I'm glad you're feeling better, and you're here for the season 5 beginnings of Tales from the Crypt. Death of some salesmen. This episode. Are you guys ready to talk about it?
Sure.
No. Okay. Let's.
Yes. Of
really
course.
Trying to stretch this episode out.
No, Troy does not. Troy's not going to T-ball.
Okay? I'm not doing T-ball, guys.
I can't do it. I'll flood the house again.
Well, that's awful. Yeah.
Well, I want to ask. I'm going to ask Troy first. I mean, obviously you've seen this episode before, but what do you think of Death of Some Salesmen?
I think I love Tales from the Crypt, and I have two favorite episodes. And
okay.
It's this and that Christmas episode from season 1.
Oh, yeah.
They did. I think these are the two best episodes of the series.
I loved it. Brandon, what did you think of Death of Some Salesmen?
I think if someone said this was their favorite episode of the series, I'd be like, yeah, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
This episode is fucking wild.
Yeah.
It really is. It's fucking crazy.
It has everything.
It's got not one, but two sex scenes in it. Like, damn.
Yeah. two great sexy scenes.
One's hotter than the one before.
It's got your boy Tim Curry. He's in it.
And Tim Curry.
Oh my god. Oh,
also Tim Curry.
Tim Curry could have played the main character too, and I would have been like, yep. Yep. It was great. This is definitely a way to start off a season. This is a Tim Curry is that like peak Tim Curry in this episode too. I love it.
Mm. Oh, he is fantastic.
Yeah. He's so good. Do you guys want to talk about it? Should we just dive in? I don't want to spoil anything besides the fact that Tim Curry's in it.
Yeah, we need to talk about this episode.
Do you know Death of a Salesman at all?
Nope.
I know of it.
Okay. I'm uncultured, so no.
Death of a Salesman is probably Arthur Miller's greatest play. It is a wonderful play, examination of American character. Willie Loman is a salesman, and we look at him like throughout his life, and it has nothing to do with this show at all.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so it's just the title.
Right.
That it's playing.
They took the title is so famous that they just changed Death of a Salesman and Death of Some Salesman.
I love that.
Okay. Because I don't know Death of a Salesman. So while I was watching this, I was thinking to myself, like, huh, maybe I need to, like, look into Death of a Salesman. Because if it's got, like, Tim Curry sex scenes, then maybe I'd be interested.
Unfortunately, Arthur Miller did not write. Then Willie Loman fucks Tim Curry, like, in the play.
If only. Well, I think
that's a shame.
Any play could be escalated to a higher tier if Tim Curry's involved in general.
Oh, agreed.
Well, let's get into this thing here, guys. Our episode starts up in a pretty unique way, you know, for Tales from the Crypt. We're in like a QVC shopping screen. Oh, home shopping network.
Does
you
that
guys.
Still exist?
I hope so.
Can you still buy stuff on TV?
Yes, because Lori from Shark Tank
is
the queen of QVC. But I know that okay. they still do that.
With how popular QVC was, like my mom used to buy stuff from QVC. Like, There's a generation of people that eat that shit up. You know, you got Dave in the kitchen cooking up shit and stuff. I don't know. I'm a fan. I'm a huge fan of infomercials. So like QVC stuff is like, I could watch it all day because I'm an old woman. I am. You guys didn't know. But on this QVC shopping screen, we got a man that is getting strangled by a noose. And it took me a while to figure out how to say that in my notes without being like, he's hung, you guys.
Hey, Cortland.
Yes, Troy.
How hung is he?
I don't know what a funny response to that one.
I don't have a punchline.
On the side, we see that there's this item described as a designer hanger with a retail price of $99.99. It's quite the bargain. And it's being sold on the Home Chopping Network. Our best friend, the Crypt Keeper, slides into the shot via green screen. He's on green screen, you guys. And he's got this sick ponytail, just this luscious head of hair. It looks great on him. He turns to the camera saying, well, kiddies, I'm afraid our designer hanger offer has expired, because we see that the man that was being strangled is now dead. You know, he's gone. He asks, will somebody please get Mr. De La Renta out of here? Is that a pun? Is that the name of the actual guy that is on the show?
I don't know.
De La Renta? Yeah. I don't know.
I assume it's like the guy that works on Tales from the Crypt that was like, yep, I'll get strangled. Anyway, we see him drop to the floor, and now he is out of the show. Crypty tells us that up next on the Home Chopping Network, it's time for the Crypt Keeper's Fashion Boutique. We pan through a few items like Vitamin E facial mask, and Crypty says, today we're featuring his full line of Apres-V death care products. I don't know. We've got everything from face cream to mascara. Try some. It's the best thing you can do for dem eyes. That one got me.
Okay, that was a good one.
Yeah, I laughed at that one. And he giggles because it's a good one. Behind him, we see a skeletal hand with a sparkling gold bracelet holding up the mascara. And it looks great. And at only $19.99, I mean, guys, that's a steal. Hello? He laughs and says, or maybe I could interest you in tonight's special. It's a tasteless tidbit about a traveling cemetery plot salesman who's about to make a grave mistake. And he calls this one Death of Some Salesman. For the zoom in on this cover, it's also interesting. We've got Crypti still on green screen and his head's just kind of in frame and it looks great. But the picture for this one, it's a little all over the place. I'm not really sure what to expect from the episode from it. We've got a man's severed head in a microwave with two old people behind him. And the old lady has like a slice of paper in her hands and she is like talking with the old man. But behind them is the silhouette of somebody with a baseball bat in his hands. And it seems to be ready to strike.
There's a lot going on in this image.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a weird cover. It doesn't give the story away.
No. I mean, the head in the microwave is there, but everything else is kind of like fabricated, you know? So we fade into the episode and straight away into a sex scene, you guys.
The season starts off with a bang.
It's a steamy one. We've got our main character here. His name is Judd. He is smooching on a woman, and it shows her boobies and everything.
Oh my goodness.
I know. Within the first like 2 minutes of this episode, it's like boobs. Season 5. Bam. Some time passes and we see Some time passes and we see more and goddamn season 5 right away with the nudity. After that shit, we close in on the woman sleeping and then pan over to Judd, who's opening up his briefcase and reading the paper. He flips over to the obituary section and gets kind of excited because a man named Eb Jones has just died. So he circles that name and then writes up a little certificate for a funeral plot. The woman in bed wakes up saying, "Damn, you up early? What time is it?" And Judd tells her it's 6 a.m. How does that sound for you, Troy? I got you up at 6 a.m.
Oh my God, you got me up at 5 o'clock.
I'm the worst.
You're the worst. Can we talk about Judd for a minute?
It's hash slinging time, so yeah, let's talk about him.
Fucking Ed Begley Jr.
I know, right?
It's Ed Begley Jr., baby.
I gotta tell you, I did this episode for Tim Curry, but Ed Begley Jr. is like God tier for me as well.
I love Ed Begley Jr.
Yeah, he's so great. Good. I feel like he's in everything. I absolutely love him in this opening scene where it's like this show is trying to sell Ed Begley Jr. as some kind of womanizing playboy.
Yes.
All for it.
Yeah, out of everybody in the whole world, I would never think of this of Ed Begley Jr.
He's such a good actor. He's so funny. And I'm sure he loved this role of being this womanizing, you know, cheat and everything.
He plays this role really well. Like, I think that's one of the real highlights of this episode is just how well it's acted. It's so good.
I think this was up for an Emmy.
That's awesome.
Like, I think this is, like, the one episode that was, like, everyone was like, yeah, you know what? Tales of the Crypt isn't schlock. This was a good episode.
And it starts up with a sex scene, right?
Well, yeah. And Bigley Jr. is a, you know, tall, blonde man. I guess he can get it.
Sure, yeah.
I just love that he is such like a hot womanizer in this. Yeah.
It really sells like how good of a salesman he is. Right. He can talk anyone into anything.
Yeah. Yes. And it also does set him up to be like the piece of shit that we expect from most of our main characters of the show. So that like spoilers, if something bad happens to him, we don't feel so bad because he's a jerk.
Are there any episodes of the series where the protagonist is like a good person?
I'm coming up blanks here, Troy. Let's see. It's 6 a.m. It's time for work. And the woman, she's all, oh, geez, like you. I told you last night I was all done with that stupid coffee shop. She says, I'm going to go with you. Ain't that what we talked about? Judd stands up saying, well, there's a little change of plans here. She asks, but wait, what are you talking about? You said last night. But Judd interrupts her saying, yeah, but last night was last night and today's today. So... She accuses him of lying to her, but Judd's all, no, you said you wanted to get out of that stinking little burg, and I sold you a way to do it just for the night. But now it's morning, and the warranty's expired. Judd walks away to the front door, and we pan over to the woman, who gets all sad and frustrated. She's all like, damn you!
Damn you, Ed Begley! And then he puts on his sunglasses and rides off on his Harley.
Judd laughs at her, telling her to spare the tears. And the woman's all, but you said you loved me. And Judd laughs again at her, saying, yeah.
I said I loved you, and you dropped your little panties. It's called salesmanship.
And then he leaves and slams the front door. And that's the last time we see this woman.
What an asshole. Oh, man.
It's great.
Like, you kind of expect him to be just a total douchebag, but, like, keep lying. But he's just like, yep, I fucked you, honey.
Ben Bagley Jr., out. We pop over to Judd in his convertible driving up on a farm. And we know it's a farm because there's horses that whinny. He gets out and he goes to the creaky gate and makes his way to the front door of the house. And he knocks on the door and a woman opens up and he says, oh, you must be Miss Jones. She tells him, yeah, that's me. He introduces himself as Judd Campbell from the Restful Memorial Park. And also, she looks exactly the way her husband said she did. Is he here by chance? She looks at him with a bit of confusion, saying, no, he passed away a few days ago. The funeral was like yesterday.
Her husband was Herman Munster. That's Yvonne DiCarlo, who played Lily Munster.
Oh, is it? I love her.
Yeah, she is fucking awesome and is such a great cameo in this episode.
I didn't look into her because she wasn't in the episode enough for me to like look her up on IMDb.
She's only in the one scene, but yeah, that's Lily Munster.
That's amazing. I think she did amazing in this episode. Like, she's one of my faves. And that's, okay, she's not, because we got Tim Curry and Ed Bailey Jr. But of the three characters we see, aside from, like, the woman at the very beginning, she's top three for me, you guys.
No, wow. It's a fantastic, like, cameo. And she's such a classic actress, horror actress, that just, like, having her be the one that he talks to here is a really nice, like, setting the feeling of the sort of, like, campy, because obviously the Munster is very campy.
Yeah, I love it. I think that she did such a great job in such a short amount of time. Like, she I was very sympathetic to her. Like, yeah, Eb died. Like, he did.
And she's one of those women, one of those actresses that you look up, like, their IMDb and everything. And besides Lily Munster, she was in, like, 80 things over decades, you know.
That's awesome. Yeah,
she had a very long career.
I used to watch the Munsters when it was on Nick at Night. I loved it. Judd here, he claps his mouth in fake shock, saying, I can't believe it. Last Monday I saw him. It's like he saw it coming too. And the woman tells him, well, yeah, he did, he had cancer. That's such a great delivery.
Oh, whoops.
Judd's all, yeah, I knew that, but Monday he put a down payment on a new cemetery plot, and suddenly, and Judd goes to take a seat on a chair that's outside, and Miss Jones walks up asking, wait, did you say you put a down payment on a cemetery plot? And Judd nods, saying, yeah, he paid $250 for you and him. Miss Jones scoffs because Eb didn't say nothing about that to her, and Judd assumes that he wanted it to be a surprise, and opens up his briefcase and shows her the spot he picked. He hands over a picture of, like, a hill with some, like, trees and shit, saying that he wanted them to be in eternal rest with all of this beauty. It's such a shame, because he was so excited about the benefits package, too. Funeral expenses plus $10,000 in cash, since he loved you so much. And Miss Jones here is all like, $10,000 what-nos? And Judd tells her, yeah, I'll arrange for you to get a full refund on that pathetic $250 deposit.
That stupid fucking $250.
he hams it up. It's great. Miss Jones stops him, saying, oh, but isn't there some delicious way that I could get all of the benefits? Judd tells her, no, your husband is dead. So she asks, but, like, what if I pay you more money? So Judd laughs a touch and tells her that would be totally illegal. No ifs, ands, or buts. She begs him, saying, but I'll pay you in cash right now, since there's no tracing cash. And who knows when Judd would actually get the money, you know? So it makes sense. She adds in that the funeral was just so goddamn expensive.
And Eb didn't leave me hardly a pig's whistle.
That's a thing people say.
Sure. Isn't there just some way? How much did he owe you? Judd tells her, another $250. If it was in cash. And she gets excited, and she runs back inside to wrestle up the money. Now outside, Judd, he starts going through his paperwork, and he picks out a contract or something, and a moment later, Miss Jones walks out, and she's all sad, because she only has $187, and that's all she's got in the whole wide world. She asks if there's just some way, and Judd stands up saying, now Miss Jones, you are such a nice lady, I'll find a way, and he snatches that money from her as she blesses him and his generosity. Now we get this mini montage of Judd placing money in an envelope and checking stuff off of map and stuff.
And that's pretty much it for Yvonne DiCarlo.
Yeah. I wish she was in a little bit more of the episode. It would have been fun if she was, like, in on it at the end kind of thing. Spoilers. But it also does set it up to be,
setting up just for him to be awful.
Right, yeah. Because we get that montage of him just being awful to, like, so many different people and scratching stuff off a map. And you got, like, that country kind of twangy music playing that gets a little bit more sinister because he's a piece of shit, you know? Mm-hmm. It's pretty good. He rolls up on the last stop of the day, which is a somewhat dilapidated kind of farmhouse-looking thing. And he walks up to the front door and is about to knock on it when it opens up. And Tim motherfucking Curry, in drag, slides out. Asking, so good. Can I help you?
But the makeup is so good on that, on him.
It does. It looks really so natural. Is. He doesn't have his English accent going, you know? He's got like that Southern American accent. It's so good.
I have to tell you something especially funny. Bear with me. It's a long story.
Okay.
You guys are familiar with Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I've never seen it. It's something that I would like to watch.
What? Though.
I know. I'm sorry, Troy. I can't. You guys yell at me when you're on the podcast.
I'm sorry. I know. No, I hate it when people go like, you haven't seen Casablanca? And it's like, no, that's okay. It's fine. Like, some people haven't seen wonderful movies. And I'm just like, why don't you want to enjoy life? Like, don't you want to see something amazing?
No.
No, Troy. No.
Don't watch Rocky Horror Picture Show. But, So he was amazing in that.
Mm-hmm.
He's wonderful. Several years later, they did a sequel called Shock Treatment in the mid-80s. And they asked him to come back and play a different role. And he turned it down because he wasn't comfortable doing an American accent.
Oh, really?
Interesting.
Yeah, he would have played Brad and Brad's twin brother in it. And so he said, like, you want me to come on and do two roles and do an American accent? No thanks. And then, like, 6 years later, he's like, three roles, an American accent. I'm in.
I'll do it.
Although he's doing, in Shock Treatment, he would have had to done, like a realistic. This is such, like, a heavy-handed, Southern, over-the-top thing. I get it. And while I've got you stopped, do you know who the role was written for?
Like this role right here?
All three roles that Tim Curry plays. Spoiler, sorry.
No.
I can't imagine anybody else in it.
Written for Eddie Murphy.
Oh, that would have been an odd one.
Because he was known for playing multiple roles in movies.
Yeah. Like when I saw this, I was like, oh, he's doing an Eddie Murphy.
Right.
Wow. Okay.
The Tales from the Crypt writers wrote it with Eddie Murphy in mind. Approached Eddie Murphy, gave him the script, and Eddie Murphy went, nah.
And then made Norbit.
Right.
Right.
You know, I will say, though, like, I love Tim Curry in this. If it would have been, like, Eddie Murphy, though, I think he could have pulled it off, too.
Yeah, I think Eddie Murphy would have done great, but I'm glad I live in the universe where it was Tim Curry.
Me too.
I concur. It's one of those, there's lots of movies where you feel like, well, they originally approached so-and-so, or where you're like, well, Christopher Walken auditioned for Han Solo. And we're like, oh yeah, there's a universe where Christopher Walken is Han Solo.
That'd be amazing.
And it probably is amazing, but I'm glad, like you said, Brandon, that we're in the Tim Curry was in this episode universe.
That's what it all hinges on.
Yeah.
I do love this part. So we have this character here that's like, oh, what are you doing here, right? And immediately Judd goes into that salesman mode and we hear him say, you must be Miss Comfrey. You know, you're exactly the way your husband said you were, just like he said to the woman in before, Miss Jones. He's a very lucky man. And the woman asks, Miss who? And Judd repeats, Miss Comfrey? And with a question, and she's all, there ain't nobody by that name. And she closes the door. Judd asks, but wait, isn't this 2465 Maple Street? And she opens the door again, and she says, no, this here's Maple Drive. Maple Street is across town. So Judd apologizes for all of his mistakes, right? And she closes the door, and he goes to walk away. But 2 seconds later, the woman opens the door back up, asking, young man, are you selling something?
I love that he has the wrong address.
Mm-hmm.
Still wants to sell. And then you don't know if she's falling for it or luring him in.
Yes, yes. You
sort of see it going, it could go either way.
I think it's a beautiful thing. He breathes in that crisp, lucky country air and tells her, as a matter of fact, and walks on inside. And we cut to inside the house where Judd is explaining, because at Restful Hills, we believe you and your loved ones should be able to rest in peace before as well as after. And the woman, whose name is Ma Brackett, thinks that that shit sounds so nice. Judd is about to bring out the brochure when Ma tells him, "I'm sorry, I don't want Pa to miss this." And she smiles. Then she calls out, "Pa!" and steps aside. And we close in on Tim Curry's old woman face as she's all,
"Where is that old goat?"
and then yells,
"Pa! Where in tarnation are you?"
And she does, like, he does that classic Tim Curry face that everybody loves so much. You know, like, you know what I'm talking about, right?
No.
That Tim Curry face where he, like, moves his, like, tongue and mouth and it's a Tim Curry.
Oh, I have no idea what you're talking about.
What? No, you guys know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't.
I love that Tim Curry moves his mouth when he acts.
He has this, like, he does it in, like, all of his movies. I mean, I'm thinking of Home Alone 2.
He moves his mouth when he's that's good.
You guys are stupid.
I'm sure if you showed me, I'd be like, "Oh, okay, I get it." But, like, you saying it like that thing we all know.
You guys know it. Look, I'm resisting the urge right now to put this episode into DaVinci and sending you exactly what I'm talking about. So,
please do after we're done recording, because I want to know what you're talking about.
All right, fair enough. I'm keeping it in, though, you guys, because I'm right, okay?
I'm right.
No, I agree with you. Tim Curry does move his mouth when he talks.
He moves his mouth and he, like, rolls his eyes really a little bit, and it's so devious. I know you guys know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Okay, the door opens up and in walks Pa, played by the wonderful Tim Curry, you guys. We got Tim Curry in old man makeup.
Wow.
I do love that, like, the opening credits.
Oh, yes.
Listed him as, like, Tim Curry as Ma Brackett, Ed Begley Jr., Tim Curry as Pa Brackett, Yvonne DiCarlo, Tim Curry as... It did break it up. He got listed every single time.
So... Ma Brackett, you look at that and it's like, okay, that's Tim Curry in makeup.
Mm-hmm.
But Pa Brackett, like, if I didn't know that that was Tim Curry and, like, that was the only character he was playing,
yeah,
like, I might not know at all. Like, he's just, like, unrecognizable in that.
Oh, but yes. You know what's funny, Brandon? I made a of the exact opposite.
Really?
Yeah, I went, wow. He's unrecognizable as Ma Brackett, but that's definitely Tim Curry as Pa Brackett.
That's really funny.
I felt the same as Brandon. I think that he was much more disguised as Pa Brackett versus Ma Brackett.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I was the opposite. I mean, obviously, we know it's him and both.
For sure, yeah. Pa Brackett walks in here, and he tells Ma to hold her horses, and he was right in the middle of digging. He takes a look at Judd saying, "Oh, we got company." And Ma takes a seat over on the couch saying, "Mr. Campbell is a salesman, Pa." Pa gets excited saying, "Ooh, a salesman." And he shakes his hand saying, "Ain't that nice? Back in the old days, traveling salesmen used to come by all the time. Of course, nowadays, everybody stays home and does their shopping on TV. I don't know, but to me, it ain't the same. Well, sit yourself. Show us what you got."
Are Ma and Pa siblings?
Maybe.
Okay.
Well, they look pretty similar.
It's like they're the same person.
They're like Milhouse's parents.
Yes. Oh, that's messed up.
It wouldn't be surprising if that were the case, honestly.
Okay, so just while we're talking about Tim Curry makeup, his face was just so good for makeup.
Mm-hmm.
I think about two of his greatest roles with makeup. I think of Pennywise from the early 90s miniseries of it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's lost in that role when you look at him.
Yeah.
And the other, I mean, you can watch Legend and you don't even see Tim Curry in that.
Yeah. He is another being.
That darkness role is so iconic, so legendary. And I've been like, you know, that's Tim Curry. And, you know, people have been like, what? Like, you can't even see him. He disappears so much into that.
I have not seen Legend, but, like, I knew exactly what you were talking about with the makeup and stuff for it. It's phenomenal.
That character darkness is so iconic with the devil and everything. Mm-hmm. He's been in cartoons, comics, and everything. You think of like big red demon with horns. That's what it comes from. And he's so good.
So good.
Yeah. And he fucking fucks up Tom Cruise, who then like joins a cult. So.
Oh, okay. Just like in real life.
Right.
Thanks, Tim Curry.
You made Tom Cruise join a cult. What can't Tim Curry do?
Oh, so let's see. The two sit down, they take their seats, and Judd opens up his briefcase saying that, I know what you mean. Buying things long distance, you lose the human connection. We snap over to Ma, who says,
ain't that the truth? And when the product comes...
But Pa shuts that shit down, saying, Ma, shut up. The man don't give a damn what you think. Let him get down to business. Judd agrees that it's time to get down to business. And he doesn't care what Mom has to say either. Now, at Restville Hills Memorial Park, and Pa asks, wait, is that a cemetery? And Judd's all, we call ourselves a memorial park. Anyway, we have a whole new concept about bringing peace to you and your loved ones before and after demise. For starters, we found a piece of property north side of town that'll just knock your socks off. Now, Ma here, she was trying to get some crocheting done, but Judd hands her a flyer, so she takes a peek. He hands one over to Pa as well, asking if this shit is gorgeous or what. Ma agrees that it looks absolutely heavenly and the perfect place to spend eternity. I love Tim Curry. Pa agrees that it looks pretty restful. Judd adds in that it's the kind of place that the whole fam is going to enjoy visiting to pay their respects. And that makes the whole mourning process just so much easier on everybody. Ma pipes up asking Pa if this isn't just the swellest idea ever. Pa sighs, asking when the beforehand stuff comes into play, and hands the pamphlet back to Judd. He gets up out of his seat to look over at a fancy painting on the wall. So Judd here tells Pa that he's a real smart thinker, thinking about that beforehand stuff, and that comes with a death's benefits package. For a small nominal fee, we pay funeral expenses plus a death benefit of $10,000 cash. That way you know your loved ones are going to be taken care of beforehand. And Pa asks, oh, how nominal? And Judd tells him $500 would buy everything for the both of them. Pa sucks in a big lung full of smoke, because he's like smoking a pipe right now, asking $500, that's all? And Judd now takes a moment to look around the room, and he sees this fancy entertainment system, and we hear a cash register, cha-ching!
Oh my God.
And he adds in, oh, of course, we do have the extended death benefit of $20,000, and that would only cost you $750. And Ma's all, $750 buys you $20,000? Judd tells her, nope, you're both covered. So we're talking $40,000.
Do you think, is he selling like real plans?
No.
I don't think so.
No, this is just all bullshit.
I will say, because like the pamphlet he shows people of like where their plot would be, it's the same picture for everybody. Or at least it was for our first character.
So they say he's a salesman. Is he just a con man?
He's just a con man, yeah. He just takes the deposit and's like, see ya. Hey there, everybody. Cortland here, your good buddy and your favorite salesman. Thank you so much for joining us today, whether this is your first episode or you listen to everything that we've got. We are so thankful for you spending some time with us. We have tons of bonus content available over on our Patreon at patreon.com/privateisland. New content releases multiple times a week, including our movie reviews, early release episodes, and more. I'd like to take a moment to thank our current patrons, The Beths, Venice Witch, Tristan, Redemption, Lyle, Eddie, Ray, Rad, Magical, Faith, and Shane, The Goths, Stephen, Matt, Aaron, Brittany, Sid, and Corey, The Citizens of Carlsville, Sarah, Mr. Normal, Matt, Keith, Christy, Angela, and Meredith, and your boys and girls, Kathy, Farron, Bryce, and Brian. Thank you for your support, everybody. Brandon and I truly appreciate it. You can follow us on social media for all the latest posts. We're at Up All Night Podcast on Instagram, at UAN Pod on Twitter, at Up All Night HA Podcast on YouTube, and at Private Island Presents on TikTok. If you want to chat with me as I play games live, follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/privateislandc. I go live every couple of nights, usually starting about 9 p.m. Eastern. Lately, I've been playing a lot of World of Warcraft with my wife, but I do switch it up. I play some Diablo 2, some Stardew Valley, which is going to be having a new patch soon, as well as Resident Evil and more. Everything I have is Are You Afraid of the Dark, Goosebumps, and Tales from the Crypt themed, and I hope you check it out and enjoy. I'd like to take a moment to thank the Benevolent Badger for their work on the music for our show, aside from this theme dating start from Undertale, composed by Toby Fox. I'd also like to thank Brandon for his work on the artwork, and for Troy for joining us once again. Thanks so much for listening in. For now, I'll let you get back to the episode, and I will talk with you again next week. Bye, everybody. Ma does this incredible thing where she gets this like shocked expression on her face and she breathes in all noisy and stuff. And I just love it. Judd says, well, you can't say no to that, can you? And we look over at Ma, who's just shaking her head. She's just like, no. And it's great. And Pa agrees that they'll do it. So Judd plays it cool here. He's saying, great, I'll draw up the paperwork. Paul's all, well, of course, we'll have to see it first. And Judd cracks a little here asking, see it? And Pa tells him, yeah, we need to see the plot in person. Ma adds in that they just like to see how things work before they buy it. So Judd's all, well, it looks pretty much like this. And he pushes over that same picture that he showed Miss Jones. And Pa looks at it, but he says that they can't do nothing until they see it first. And Ma smiles, and Judd's all, okay, well, here's what we're going to do. I'll submit the paperwork with the payment right now, and then tomorrow I'll swing by, I'll pick you up, and I'll take you there myself. Pa nods his head, saying, sure thing. Just give me a little minute here. I got to go downstairs and get you some money.
You take cash?
That's my favorite line of the episode.
You take cash? It's so funny.
You take cash?
Judd tells him that he prefers cash since it speeds up the process. And Pa tells him, okay, well, I'll just be a minute. And the two get up, and Ma asks if Judd wants some coffee. And he does. So they walk over to the kitchen. In the kitchen, Ma says, boy, with you being on the road all day, I expect you probably need a little pick-me-up. So she pours him some coffee from a carafe as Pa yells for Ma to hurry it up, and he can't keep the man all day. She calls back saying, come in, Pa, and she leaves the room. Judd takes a sip of his coffee, but goddammit, it's cold. So he looks over, and he spots the microwave, and he opens that shit up. And at this point, you guys, the episode goes from like zero to a, well, it goes from like 60 to 100.
It's not at zero.
It's definitely not at zero.
It's already cooking a little bit.
That's what I was saying. Like, it goes from like zero to like 150. We'll go with that. That sounds pretty nice.
Okay.
Because there's a severed human head in the microwave.
Oh, damn.
You know, like you'd find in your regular home.
Just casual human head, whatever. Judd screams, and we zoom in on it. He drops his cup, he pushes back a curtain to the pantry, and then he looks in that pantry, and we see there is another dead man with a vacuum hose wrapped around him, and, like, the sucky part... What?
The sucky part
is sticking up out of his mouth. It's, like, totally impaled him. Death by vacuum.
All right, here's my question, though. Why is the head in the microwave? I get that that's a place to store a head. But were they going to, like, microwave it? Are they eating them?
It's a good question.
That's a food-related pantry, you know?
It's just, like, decor at this point.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Judd runs out of there into the living room and goes to the front door, but it's locked. From behind him comes Pa with that baseball bat that we saw from the picture. So they lied to us in the opening. But he says he's afraid Judd ain't going anywhere. And then he bashes Judd a few times in the head with it. And he laughs, and then we fade to black.
Oh, he's got such a good laugh.
Tim Curry special, yeah.
So, in a lesser episode of Tales from the Crypt, like, this could be an ending.
Mm-hmm.
This guy goes around scamming people with his phony sales pitch. Then he goes into this house, tries giving them the pitch, and it turns out he's the one being scammed. And then they kill him, the end.
You're right.
But, I checked the time when this happened, and I was like, oh, there's still, like, a whole episode left.
Yeah. Yeah, this is really just when the episode starts going, really.
Yeah, it goes some places.
That's the end of Act 1, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We got lots more to go. We're almost at an hour, you guys.
I woke up three hours ago. It's not worth it.
End the recording. We're done. That's
all right. Okay, bye, guys.
Well, we're back now, folks, and we're taking a look at Judd, who's all jacked up from that baseball bat attack. His eyes all black. It looks good. Looks good stuff.
Well, we've talked about just like the makeup on Tim Curry for his multiple characters, but the black eye makeup on Ed Begley Jr. is really good.
Yeah, I like it.
Like, that's sometimes it can be even harder to do like realistic bruising and not. This episode is stellar. Everyone's working on like a 10. The whole, like, the crew, the cast, everyone.
It's good stuff. The camera pans us back from Judd, and we hear Pa saying that he wants to kill him now. And we see Pa cleaning up his gun. Ma tells him he won't let him do it. And Pa's all, damn it, Ma, I'm tired of you arguing with me. If I want him dead, he's dead, and that's all there is to it. And we see Judd kind of, like, waking up a little. And then we snap over to Ma, who says, don't you raise your voice to me, old man, or I'll have your hide. Besides, it wouldn't be polite to kill him until he wakes up. And while she's saying that, we see Judd, like, starting to wake up a little more, and then he's all, oh, nope, I'm going back to sleep. I'm going to pretend like I'm sleeping.
Well, if they're debating whether we kill him or not until he wakes up.
Yeah, I would do the same thing.
Right. I try to take a few extra minutes to assess the situation.
Ma adds, and besides, I think we should have Winona look at him first. And Pa laughs and tells Ma to get off of it. He ain't going to want her.
I like that we've set up that Judd is an asshole.
Yes.
But he's smart.
Yeah. You know,
he's able to read people. I mean, that's what sort of what part of that opening was about. We get that, like, we fully know who his character is.
He's got that salesman training, you know. He can charm his way out of anything.
Right. And that's sort of the genius of that episode of this is a man who can charm his way out of everything. But here is an extreme situation.
Yes. Pa tells Ma that ain't no one in Winona's whole ugly goddamn life ever wanted her. Ma shakes her head saying, I want her to be the judge of that.
Wonder what Winona's going to look like.
I know. I'm so excited. Pa's all, whatever. Even if Winona do want her, I don't. I don't want no goddamn salesman in the family. Ma snaps that no one cares what Pa wants. And besides, only salesmen come to this place. And this one seemed especially nice. And if this is Winona's only chance for a little happiness, then I want to give it to her. Pa tells her, no way, Jose, because he ain't ever going to want her. And then he cocks his gun. Then Pa moseys over to Judd, telling him to goddamn wake it up. And he grabs his hair and pushes him up into a sitting position on the couch. Judd begs to be let go, and Pa asks, why? So you can run off to the police and tell them all about us? Judd assures Pa that he would never do such a thing, and he doesn't even care about all those other dead bodies and stuff. Ma tells Judd that those dudes were salesmen, just like him, and Pa adds in that one of the guys sold them a crummy microwave that didn't work, and the vacuum, and the color TV.
What, no color TV till I fixed it?
I like that he's like he's making like Yelp reviews.
Oh yeah.
Yes, sure, I bought the vacuum, but the vacuum didn't work. Yes, the color TV needed fixing.
We see Pa walk away from Judd, and we can see that Judd has handcuffs on. His feet are also tied, and he goes over to the TV. He opens up a little door, and we see the TV has the dead body of the man inside of it. And Pa yells, now it's a color TV! And I love this, because Ma, she just kind of smiles. She's just there for the ride.
Ma is such a great character.
I love Ma. Yeah.
Yeah, she's great.
She's my favorite. Judd looks at that going, oh, God. Really, I won't say anything to anybody. And Pa goes back over to Judd with his gun asking, and why would I trust you? You're a salesman. And a salesman ain't nothing but a thief trying to sucker people out of their hard-earned money, making them buy things that they don't want or need. I've been took one too many times, and if we gotta kill every last goddamn salesman on the goddamn planet, so be it. Over with Mom, she calls out, now don't get too excited, Pa. We ain't doing nothing till Winona sees him first. Pa growls over at Ma, muttering that the girl ain't nothing but trouble. And Ma gives a satisfied sigh, and the two are off. And we zoom over to Judd, who grunts at his handcuffs, and then fade to black. And when we come back, it's nighttime now, and Judd's still trying to bite off his handcuffs, when some little music starts to play. Judd looks around as best he can, and he's asking, oh, are you Winona? Winona is such a nice name. My mother's name was Winona, and she was just super beautiful. Also, you play that really well.
I think it's a coincidence that they named these two characters Winona and Judd.
I wondered the same thing. But like, if that was intentional, like, why?
Right.
So Winona here, because it's going to be Winona that pops up, you guys. She's playing Spoilers. Something. I don't know what she's playing, because I don't even think we ever see it, do we?
Art for something, I think.
She's playing some sort of musical instrument. Judd thinks that it sounds gorgeous, though. And
no, he doesn't. He's just talking shit.
Well, she plays it really well, okay? Anybody ever tell her that? And then then Judd asks, like, how old she is, and the music just stops, and we hear a voice say,
"Old enough to know a bunch of bullshit when I hear
it." He's got, like, a harmonica.
Oh, yeah, I think it is a harmonica, you're right.
It's a harmonica that Winona's playing.
Well, Judd rolls his eyes, saying, "Why don't you come on over here so I can get a good look at you?" And the voice is all, "Maybe I don't want you to see me." Judd giggles, saying, "No, I don't think that's the case at all. I think you want me to see you very much. You know, I hardly know you, Winona, but I can hear your loneliness. I know that loneliness. It sits on my shoulder and pecks at my heart. Is that how you feel, Winona?" Now, this entire time, Winona has just been, like, slowly making her way to Judd's seat. We don't get to see her. It's in, like, first-person cameras entrance. And stuff.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
It's got Goosebumps creeper cam for a little bit.
Exactly, yeah. She tells Judd that he sure do talk purdy. And Judd thinks that they should have a little talk face to face. And she's all, "Okay." And we see Judd get a look at Winona, and he recoils in disgust. He's all, "No, you're so beautiful."
It's so great.
Now we get a look at Winona, and it's goddamn Tim Curry again.
I mean, if both your parents are Tim Curry.
Yeah.
Then you're going to be Tim Curry too, right? 100%,
you'll be Tim Curry too. It's Tim Curry in drag, and he's got this black wig on, and he's got moles all over his face, and beautiful eyeshadow just caked in the eyes. It's glorious.
A humpback.
Yeah, the humpback.
Oh, the humpback. Yeah. They do such a good job of all three characters looking different.
Yeah.
But still clearly being him.
It's wild. Like, this idea for this episode is just wild to begin with. And then to have Tim Curry of all people, it's so good. Winona smiles, and then her smile fades, and she says, "The last thing I am is beautiful." And she scoffs a little. Judd's all, "What is beauty anyway? The Mona Lisa has nothing on you." And we see Winona rolling her eyes at this as Judd asks what perfume she's wearing. And Winona tells him that she ain't wearing any, and she snorts a few times. Turns out she ain't washed in a couple of weeks. And we look over at Judd in all of his misery as he says, "Oh, is that so? It smells so earthy. I love it. This has never happened to me before. I've fallen head over heels in love with you." Winona smiles, saying, "You don't love me." But Judd doubles down, saying, "Yeah, I do. Now, take these handcuffs off and I'll prove it." Winona tells him that, "I don't have the keys. And even if I did," and Judd snaps, "You got to let me prove it, because if I can't, I'm going to go crazy." Winona takes a full 2 seconds to look at him, and then gets close to his face, saying,
"You really think I'm like the Mona Lisa?"
I love it. It's so good.
It's beautiful. Like, I was captivated with this episode while I was watching it. I was just like, I hope this never ends. It's so good. Until, you guys, we cut over to a bedroom where there's all these, like, disembodied dolls all over the place, and the door opens up as Judd is talking about how he wants to make her smile and stuff. And they bust on inside, and Judd tells Winona that her room is just so, like, so lovely. And Winona says that she hates this room, and she hates this whole damn house. And then she plops him down on her bed and starts undoing his shirt. And Judd goes on about how this is making him all so giddy, and then is like, "Wait, what are you doing?" Winona tells him she wants to see his love feelings. So Judd tries to explain that the love he feels for her is a little bit different. You know, it goes a little bit deeper. But Winona knows what she wants, saying that the actions speak louder than words. His love talk is nice, but the body never lies. And then she lifts him up and undoes his pants. She throws him back on bed and tosses his legs over, saying, "Now, let's see you how much you love me." And we watch her lift up her shirt or her skirt. And yeah, she shows off her legs. And then she takes off her underwear and asks, "Do you still love me?" Oh, boy. This next part, you guys, it's difficult to describe on a podcast.
No, I want you to describe it. This is the reason we're doing this episode.
All right.
It's that you would describe this to me.
I'm going to try my best here. Judd, who looks straight disgusted and upset, doesn't seem to be enjoying any of this. Winona gets back up on the bed and then rips off Judd's underwear with a grimace. Then tells him to show her that he loves her. And she raises an eyebrow looking down at Judd's nakedness and says, of course, if you don't love me, I'll just have to give you back to Pa and have him deal with you. So Judd tells her over and over again that he loves her. And Winona's not buying it. And she rolls her eyes, but Judd's all, wait. And we watch him just get all focused, and it's just absolute insanity, okay? Because after, like, that's what I have for my notes here. Like, we watch him focus on, like, getting an erection. And he's all sweaty. It's a lot of work for him, okay?
Well, wouldn't it be for you? Yeah.
He's got to think real hard.
He's mustering up every ounce of his willpower to not die, really. After this stuff happens, okay? After a few seconds, Winona gets excited, saying, well, I'll be damned. I think you do love me. Then we get to watch Tim Curry get up on top of Egg Bagley Jr. with our second sex scene of the episode. It's incredibly awkward, and Tim Curry is just phenomenal here. He's making a whole bunch of noises and screaming. And
yeah,
it only lasts, like, you know, 30 seconds, if that.
In real life, it lasts longer.
Yeah. Winona screams out a few times and collapses into Judd, brushing her hair back. And Judd says, that was amazing. Most incredible sex I ever did have. He asks her how she learned to do that. And Winona's all them other salesmen. Except none of them did what you did. You do love me, don't you? And Judd tells her, like you said, the body never lies. Question is, do you love me? And he points a little finger at her. And she playfully snaps at it with her teeth. Amazing. And she says, of course I love you. I ain't gonna let my daddy hurt you, if that's what you're worried about. And Judd brushes that thought aside, and Winona tells him that she wants to marry him, because if they got married, they'd get her dowry, and they'd let him go, and they could run away and be happy together. Then she adds in, I hate it here. Mom and Pa treat me so mean. Judd, who stopped listening about 10 seconds ago, asks, wait, did you say dowry? And we hear the cash register cha-ching again. Winona looks at him saying, yeah, Pa's got it buried in the basement. It's the money from all them salesmen. It must be about $40,000, $50,000. And Judd sighs saying, yes, let's get married. Winona opens up her mouth with a nasally gasp of delight, and it's perfect. She gets up out of bed and runs out of the room screaming, Ma, Pa, I'm getting hitched. And with Judd, he smiles. Whew. Okay. Act two, done. Let's go on to act three, you guys.
There's three acts.
There's three Tim Currys and three acts.
There we go.
That makes sense. Yep.
We cut, and now we're looking at Pa, who growls and asks, you really want to do this thing? And Judd, whose face is still beat to shit, says, absolutely, I love your daughter. And we pan over to Winona, who smiles, saying, I love him too, Pa. Ma's there too, and she smiles. Back with Pa, he groans, saying, all right, it's time to get this shit started. Judd asks, aren't we going to have a preacher? And we see that Judd is in, like, this nice suit and tie, and Winona is dressed up like a bride with flowers in her hands. And Winona looks up at him saying, Pa is the preacher. And she rolls her eyes. Like, she's like a teenage girl, you know? She's got that sass.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Winona is only supposed to be like 16 or 17.
Does not look it at all. She looks 35, 40.
Oh, at least. Yeah.
Pa starts doing the ceremony now, asking Judd if he's going to take his daughter to be his wedded wife. He do, and Pa asks Winona the same thing, and she lays her head on his shoulder saying, you bet I do, Pa, and looks up at him lovingly. Pa asks Ma to get the ring, so she takes it right off of her own finger and gives it over to Judd. Now, Judd's got to put this ring on Winona, but she stops it saying, wait a minute, Pa, are you going to take these handcuffs off? He's marrying me. You think he's going to spend the rest of his life walking around with these things on? Ma adds in, she's right, Pa. If Vincey's willing to marry her, it's the least you can do. Pa closes the book now saying, I guess. And he reaches into his pocket and he grabs the keys and is about to unlock it, but he looks up at Judd saying, no, I ain't gonna. I'll marry you, but that's as far as it goes. Winona gets all angsty here saying, but Pa. And Pa tells him, yeah, that's just gonna be the way it is. He's still a salesman, so I'm gonna have to shoot him. Winona throws her flowers to the ground, damn, yelling, damn you, Pa! This is the first hint of happiness I got, and you're gonna kill him! And she pushes Pa against the wall and starts strangling him. Oh my.
Shit.
This is almost like a horror movie.
Just a touch, right? Pa Pa goes to grab the gun, and Ma screams out, "Oh, heavens, what are you doing?" And she goes to grab Winona, but it is too late. Winona snaps Pa's neck, and he dies.
Fuck.
I know. I didn't see this coming. With Judd, he sees the keys to the handcuffs on the ground, and he pretends to fall over, you know, like in excitement or whatever. With Winona, she flips Ma over her back and just starts smashing her head against the ground over and over again as she screams. Judd slowly reaches over to the key, but a sandaled foot steps on it. So Judd looks up, and it's Winona's smiling face. She kneels down saying, "Let me get that for you, darling," and she unlocks the handcuffs. Then she gets back up and tells him it's time to go get that dowry and walks away. And we stay with Judd, who looks over and sees that there's a gun on the floor. So he scooches over and he grabs it before he starts untying his legs. We cut over to the basement where Judd is walking down with the gun behind his back. And we see Winona is already down there, and she points to the ground saying, "That's where it is," and hands him a shovel. Judd tells her, "Oh, wait, I got a little wedding present for you." And she smiles with an "aww." And Judd pulls out the gun and shoots her in the tummy.
Jesus.
She groans, she falls to the corner, and she fucking dies as Judd calls her an ugly bitch.
I feel a bit bad for Winona.
Don't you?
I do, yeah. He throws the gun to the side because he's like done with that now, and he gets to work with the digging. And he digs for quite a while, like 6 feet deep, and he finds a box. He excitedly... No,
by the way,
yeah,
Ed Begley Jr. is like 6'4". And he's like up to his shoulders in that thing.
Oh yeah, like, he's like he, totally he's in like this
digging for hours.
He dug for like a week. Like,
he is totally in this beautiful like symmetrical hole that he has dug. I find it so funny when like they dig a hole to get to a grave or whatever, and the hole is like perfect, like an excavator dug it. It's so funny. Like, I would never. If I started digging in the basement, like, it would collapse on me, and I'd get frustrated, and I'd be like, "All right, well, I guess I'm out of dowry.
I'm done. Yeah. This isn't fun anymore."
Yeah, digging sucks.
I would never make it in holes. I couldn't do it. I'd die. So he finds this box. He excitedly opens that shit up, and there's a piece of paper rolled up inside of it. So Judd's all, "What the hell is this?" And he opens it up. And it's the contract for Restful Hills Memorial Park with Judd Campbell's name on it.
Huh. That's not much of a dowry.
Well, I love this. So it's kind of like a nice little callback because she's like, "Oh, that dowry is about $40,000-$50,000, which is how much he quoted like for them to take this, you know, fake deal. So I love that it came back up. I thought that was great.
I didn't even catch that connection. That's cool.
We hear a voice call out,
"You find something down there, young man?"
And Judd swivels around to see Ma and Pa staring down at him. And Pa's got a shotgun in his hands. Pa says, "You know, Ma, the young man's right. This sure is a mighty nice cemetery plot." Judd looks up saying, but, and Ma tells him, "The view ain't much, but I think you'll rest in peace just the same. Winona, you gonna pay your respects or what?" And we look over at Winona, who is just still chilling in the corner. Like, she was just there for hours.
They just, like, pretended for those, like, 10 hours that
it yes. yeah.
him to dig this hole.
Just waiting for him to find a piece of paper. When you hear the sound of a piece of paper moving, get up.
Yes. They were bored. This is their entertainment. So we look over at Winona, right? She gets up, and she says, "Sure hope that we can get this fake blood out of my dress." And she goes to stand up next to Ma and Pa.
Oh, what a great shot.
Right, because before this, like, every time we saw the characters, they really didn't interact with each other. It was always like, we're looking at just Ma now, and then we cut over to just Pa. But in this shot, we have all three of them. All three Tim Currys in their ultimate Tim Curry power.
Staring down that hole, like, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. This is, like, peak Tales from the Crypt. This is, like, the best shot ever.
It's so good. Ma tells them that they'll just throw that into the new washing machine the other nice salesman brought them. So, not to cut this podcast to a halt or anything, but like some salesman literally was going door to door with a whole ass washing machine. Look, I can just imagine some dude like scraping it along the pavement, like, you know, lifting one corner and lifting the other and being like, "I got this washing machine. I'd like to sell it to you." Like,
that a truck. People sell vacuums.
That's fair. That's fair.
Microwaves? No. Dude, no. No. That was not a problem.
Okay. All right. You're right. That makes
perfect sense.
In my mind, it was stupid, okay? Just a guy, like, walking down the street, shuffling with a washing machine.
Just dragging it.
Yeah.
That sound it makes on the curb. Just... You guys want to buy this?
Nope. All right. Moving on.
Next house. The three smile and laugh down at Judd, and Judd's all, hey, you guys lied to me, all of you. And Pa snaps, why?
How dare you?
Now that ain't such a nice thing to say. And he loads up his shotgun and cocks it, adding, besides, that ain't no lie at all. No, sir, it's called. And he laughs a bunch.
Salesmanship.
And the gun goes off, and the screen snaps to black.
I'm starting to think that he shoots him to death.
I don't know. That seems pretty out of character for Pa. So we're back with the Crypt Keeper now, who cha-chings this register saying, good old Judd, another satisfied ghostomer. I guess it's true what they say. The family that slays together stays together. And we see Crypty is selling like fruits and vegetables and shit. And he tells us that we've come to one of his favorite items, the amazing Crypt Keeper Slash-O-Matic. And he raises up a knife. And he tells us it's more than just a knife. It peels, it cuts, makes fabulous french fries, it slices, it dices, and... And, you know, while he's saying this, he's using it to chop a carrot on a cutting board. But he has chopped too much. And he lifts up his hand with a bunch of severed fingers and is all, ugh. And that's that. That's the end of the episode.
Yeah, the Crypt Keeper side stuff wasn't well thought out. The problem was the episode was so long, they didn't really have more than, 30 seconds for him.
Right. You know what, though? It was pretty creative, though, because, it was very on brand for what the episode was entailing. I mean, we've seen Crypt Keeper, do things at the beginning and the end that have absolutely nothing to do with the episode. So I was happy to see, the Home Shopping Network stuff. So I like that. But also, you're totally right. This episode encompassed most of the playtime, so we didn't get a lot of Crypt Keeper, but that's okay.
Fine. I'd like that they alternate. Sometimes Crypt Keeper stuff is, 3 minutes.
It's a good, way to edit the episode because they have a buffer, you know, they can just take a little bit more from the Crypt Keeper and give it to the episode kind of thing.
Yeah.
They make the episode, it comes in at 25 minutes and they're like, all right, so we have to write 11 Crypt Keeper puns this week.
Yes. And fit it into 5 seconds, and they do it. They get it. Yeah.
Now, can I tell you something special about Tim Curry?
Please. Yeah.
Always.
Tales from the Crypt had the TV series. They did 3 movies.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they did a radio, we'd call it a podcast, but it was just a radio drama. It was on for a season afterwards. Only one actor appeared in the TV series, the movies, and the radio show.
Yeah.
Who?
Mr. Tim Curry.
Egg Bake.
Oh, shit. Right?
I've never seen any of the Tales from the Crypt movies, so I'm really excited to get into those once we finish the series up. But I have heard that the third movie, which is the one that Tim Curry is in, is not very good.
Yeah, there's 3 Tales from the Crypt movies. The first one is fucking awesome. It's fantastic. The second one is super campy, so you have to be in that vibe. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's people who
I'm always in that vibe.
Yeah, there's people who absolutely hate the second one. And I'm like, I get it, because it's going for a very specific thing. The third one was just kind of cheap and all right.
Okay.
I don't it's not bad. It's just a little dull and a little
Nobody ever talks about the third one, and everybody always just talks about Demon Knight and Bordello of Blood. So,
and that's because the third one didn't even release. They were so unsure of it, in some areas where it released, it didn't even have the Crypt Keeper or the Tales from the Crypt title.
Yeah.
So you have to in England, it had the Crypt Keeper and was Tales from the Crypt Ritual. Other places, it was just Ritual.
Death of Some Salesmen. I think it was a fantastic start to season 5. I have high hopes for season 5. It better not disappoint me.
Well, it's all downhill from there.
I imagine, how can it get any better
than
that?
That's the best episode.
I'm curious to see what the next one could possibly be.
I don't know. I mean, do you both consider it a top tier, top 5 episode of the whole series?
I think so far anyway.
Yeah, I'd put it up there.
I put it up there next to like Television Terror. It was really good. As far as moral goes, did you guys learn anything from Death of a Salesman or Death of Some Salesman?
Oh, yeah. Incest is fine.
All right.
Let's
print that out. That's the quote for this episode.
Don't use that.
Troy Gardner, incest is fine.
That's just pretty all right.
Oh, my God. No, I mean, it actually does have a good moral. I mean, it's the whole, like, the conning is bad.
Yeah.
Yes, murder is also bad, but we don't really see the consequences for that.
Yeah, but I mean, they set Judd up to be, like, a very, like, classical, almost like Shakespearean type con artist who is hoisted by his own petard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They've set that up very well.
We are not saddened by his death.
No, and you know, I feel like they gave him an out. You know, he could have just ran away with Winona and I think they would have been fine. Like, he could have got rid of her later, but he was just so greed-stricken by the idea of the dowry.
That's why it works so well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If Judd wasn't such a savvy character, the story falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
We need him to be smart. We need him to be keen and to be aware of what's happening, but also blinded by his own like hubris.
Yeah, it makes it work so well.
And Ed Begley Jr. nails that.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit. Yeah.
Ed Begley Jr. is a piece of shit.
There's the other quote. Incest is fine.
This is a problematic episode.
The name for this episode, Death of Some Salesman, I think is perfect. I don't think we could come up with anything better than that. You know, maybe Three's Company. I like that too.
Three's Curry.
It fits so well.
Cha-ching.
Oh my God. When they have that cha-ching going on, I was like, yes, do more. I love it. Do you guys want to meet this cast? We got like two characters.
Oh, we haven't met them yet?
No, we got to go through it.
Was Yvonne DiCarlo in this one?
She was. We can talk about her too. Tim Curry. Have you guys ever heard of this Tim Curry fella?
Oh.
Well, he played Ma, Pa, and Winona. Like, what? I didn't even know they were different characters.
Wow. I wish that Eddie Murphy played those roles.
Now, Tim Curry has been in so many things, you guys. I mean, he's Tim Curry. Come on. He's been in like Phineas and Ferb and everything. It's great.
He's most famous for Home Alone 2.
Oh, for sure. That was the first role I saw him in. He started things off 1968 with Television Theater.
Let me ask you guys for real. What was your first Tim Curry show, movie, whatever?
I mean, all joking aside, it was Home Alone 2.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my intro to Tim Curry.
Mine was either Home Alone 2 or Fern Gully. I don't know which one I saw first.
And then from there, it goes to Congo. So
a lot of people have roles. Congo and Herkimer Homolka.
He was in Annie from 1982. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was Rooster. Lots of theater, lots of Broadway stuff, musicals, of course.
Tiny Toon Adventures, The Marzipan Pig. Mm-hmm. He was Clue. The narrator. Oh, yeah, Clue. He was in Clue.
Clue is, I would probably say Clue is my favorite movie.
Oh, wow. He's fucking fantastic in Clue.
Yeah. So
he makes that just, movie.
It doesn't matter what my mood is, what's happening. You put Clue on and I'm suddenly like happy. You know?
He does a lot of villain voices too in like Captain Planet. He was in Muppet Treasure Island. He was in.
Oh, yeah. Funny,
they wanted him for the Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yes. Yeah. Because he could have played Ebenezer Scrooge, right?
Right. But Disney went like, oh, the Tim Curry from Rocky Horror, he's not Disney enough. And then, so they got Michael Caine, and that movie was good. Michael Caine did a great job. And Tim Curry has played Ebenezer Scrooge and other things. But then a couple years later, they were doing Muppet Treasure Island, and they're like, can we get Tim Curry? And they were like, yeah, I guess enough years have passed now.
He's Disney enough now.
Right. It was like 3 years later, they're like, now everyone's forgotten.
He did the voice of Nigel Thornberry too, right? In the Wild Thornberrys?
Yes.
Yep, absolutely.
Classic. He's the perfect voice in that. He's just the perfect person. Yeah. More recently,
he had a stroke.
He did, yeah. He hasn't been in anything since 2020, which was like, you know, Rocky Horror Picture Show stuff.
Yeah, they did. Unfortunately, he had that stroke, and I mean, it's fortunate that he survived it and everything. He can still speak. It has affected his voice a little bit, and he has done some voice acting. He was also, Tim Curry is very personal, private person. He didn't do a lot of interviews. He didn't do a lot of that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And after the stroke, I think he sort of realized like life is short and has done interviews and some conventions.
Yeah.
And has received a lot of like outpouring of like love from fans for Rocky Horror, for other mm-hmm. stuff. So I think it's, yeah, he's not performing a lot now, but you kind of look like, well, he could have just died and he didn't, and he's glad to be alive.
I'm glad I don't think I know anybody that doesn't like Tim Curry. I think like that's like a test of like characters. Like if you don't like Tim Curry, then I don't want to talk to you. So next character we have Judd, played by Egg Begley Jr.
I wanted to do this episode for Tim Curry, but Ed Begley Jr. is like God tier for me too.
What do you recognize him from? Because he's the person where I'm like, I know who you are, but I can't remember exactly where I know you from.
Oh God.
I definitely do. I think it might be Arrested Development that I recognize him the most from.
From Arrested Development. Sure.
Yeah.
He did.
He's got 342 credits.
Better Call Saul. He was, that whole series. I'm rewatching Veronica Mars, and he's the college dean in season 3. He's so good in that. He's been in everything. It's hard to even.
He really has,
and he's so funny too. He's done drama, he's done thriller, and everything. He's in a bunch of the Eugene Levy, Christopher Guest mockumentaries.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Love those.
Yeah.
Mighty Wind, Best in Show.
Yeah. And which are all like improv. And, you know, he's one of those guys who's, you know, one of their good friends and does all of those. He cameos in the original Spinal Tap back in the 70s.
Remember him in that?
They do a shot of like, our drummers died. He was the first, he was their original drummer. Yeah. Hopefully he has a different role in the new Spinal Tap that they're going to be filming. But yeah, he does all those improv comedies.
I mean, he started things back off in 1967. So like he's been at it for like multiple lifetimes. Like he's multiple generations. Brandon, did you know that he's in 16 episodes of Seventh Heaven?
Of course I did.
Okay. He's also in 6 Feet Under. I didn't get to the point where I think he's in it yet, though. I gotta go watch that.
So. Yeah, he's good in that.
Most recently, he was in 33 episodes of Young Sheldon.
Yeah, yep, he's on that currently. Yeah, I mean, he's going strong. He's a great actor.
He is. Let's talk about our last character, because I'm really tired. Yvonne DiCarlo. She played Ms. Jones, the late Yvonne DiCarlo. She passed away in 2007. And her IMDb picture, she's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking Lily Munster.
I thought Lily Munster was beautiful in the Munsters. And she was great in this episode. I know she wasn't in it for very long, but I thought she was really wonderful. She started things off 1941 with Harvard Here I Come. And I think she's probably most well known for being in the Munsters.
Yeah, I mean, overall she was like a character actress. I mean, she was in the Ten Commandments. She was in
so many things.
McClintock, hundreds of stuff. But I mean, that was, Lily Munster was like that role, you know, that she's most recognizable for.
She was also in one episode of Murder, She Wrote. So that's cool.
What's the Murder, She Wrote?
I don't know. I've never actually seen it before. I see it all the time because people are in it. And it's got Ms. Lansbury in it. So.
Are you serious? Have you never watched Murder, She Wrote?
I have not. I've never seen it.
Okay, well, no. You're an idiot. Whatever.
I know. I tell myself that all the time. Tales from the Crypt was actually like one of the last things she was in for this episode 93. She was in Here Come the Munsters in 95, and then The Barefoot Executive, and that was her last role.
Yeah. Yeah. She died, what, in her 60s, late 60s.
Yeah. Well, she died in 2007. She was like 80 something. So she lived a life.
Was that old? I didn't think she was in her 70s. I'm so bad at guessing ages. I'm awful.
It's okay. It's because she's gorgeous. So, well, Brandon, do you want to see what we got next week? I'm ready to take a dive here. The season 2.
Sure.
Or season 5, episode 2.
Some big shoes to fill. Like,
I know.
Who do we got who can stand up to Tim Curry and Ed Begley Jr.?
Nobody. Next episode is going to be called As Ye Sow.
Okay. That's a title.
Yeah. It reads, wealthy and successful middle-aged businessman Leo Burns suspects that his much younger wife Bridget is having an extramarital affair, you guys. Leo hires sleazy setup. Private investigator Gigi DeVoe to find out the identity of Bridget's lover.
Another Gigi DeVoe story.
Yeah. Let me look at our... Oh, Adam West is in this episode.
Okay.
Oh, a lot more people are in it.
We have Hector Elizondo. Saying that right?
Yeah. Did you watch...
I know that guy.
Yeah, you know what? He's awesome.
Yes.
He was just in the Monk's last movie that came out earlier. He's in his mid to late 80s and still acting.
He's working it. Patsy Kensit. Is that somebody?
I don't know.
I don't know Patsy Kensit.
Oh, okay. How about John Shea?
I don't know John.
No?
Okay. Well, bad guy from Home Alone, Miguel Ferrer.
Oh, I love him. Yeah, no, I've already seen him on the show.
He's back, and he's an uncredited hitman.
And fucking Sam Waterston.
Sam Waterston. I see his eyebrows from here.
All right. That is definitely a collection of actors.
Adam West, Sam Waterston, Miguel Ferrer. Yeah, that's something to be excited about. Talk about actors in their 80s who are still doing stuff. Sam Waterston just left Law & Order. He was like, well, I'm finally leaving Law & Order because I want to pursue other things.
Still doing that?
Yeah.
Shit. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm cool with it.
I loved him on Grace and Frankie. Did you guys watch that?
No. My wife has watched Grace and Frankie. She's in the room. She nodded. It did happen.
She did indeed watch it. 405 episodes of Law & Order. Jesus Christ.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
Spoilers for next week.
Troy, I just want to say thank you so much for joining us for this episode. We always love having you on.
Absolutely.
Troy, I asked this last time. You got anything you want to plug or anything?
I don't like people or anyone contacting me.
That's fair.
So, no. I did, I've done another, like, YouTube video. I've got, like, 3 of them out now.
Ooh, nice.
That Doc Silver Screens, where I sort of, like, do a couple drawings and look at, like, the history of, different series. I do, like, a body count, timeline, history. The last one I just did was... I know you did last summer. I did all 3 movies.
There's 3 of them?
Yeah, most people don't know about the 3rd one. It's bad.
Oh, okay.
So you can watch my video instead of watching that whole movie.
What's the title of the 3rd one?
I'll always know what you did last summer. Of course. It's bad. Yeah, yeah. And they didn't have any money.
I like, hear that.
Like, the first 2 movies are awful. Like they age so poorly. But in a really, like, glorious way.
That's the best kind.
The first 2 movies are very, like, glossy, have, like, well-known actors, put a lot of money in it. The 3rd one was, like, shot on video. It's terrible.
What year did it come out?
Like, 2006 or 7.
Okay.
If you like bad movies, then you should enjoy it. Like, I enjoy it, but I know that I like trash.
Oh, well, you guys, I'm exhausted. I've been up all night. I think I'm going to go to bed. I'm all done. Those
been was up a for lot 6 of fun, weeks. Ever since that flood.
You've been riding slept that, since. That panic.
Yeah. Oh, it's awful. Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad that you survived the flooding.
Can I ask you a serious question?
Yeah.
Are you guys going to ask me back again?
Think about it, Troy.
Yeah, I just I don't want the fans. But it's fine if not. Maybe this is it. Maybe this was my grand finale. I'm done. I hate you guys.
Damn. How many episodes have you done? Is this like number 10?
I think we're in double digits.
Well, we have 13 more episodes for season 5, 15 for 6, and 13 for 7. So we definitely got more Tales from the Crypt, so you can come back for like
I'm done for season episode. 5. I'm not coming back on season 5.
We'll have you back like in season 6 or something, because like season 7 will be, you know, like half a year from now. But yeah, of course
you can come back. I feel special when I come back every like 6 months.
But I think I'm all done here, you guys. Again, Troy, I just want to say thanks so much for joining us. We would love to have you back on the show, so we will chit-chat about that at some point here. But
gosh, I'm going to have to watch more horror anthologies and talk to my friends about it. That sounds awful.
Yes, you are, Troy. but yeah, I'm going. I'm out of here, you guys. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
I like cash.
Ain't that the truth?